الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. To proceed then, today inshallah we continuing with the statement of At-Tahawi rahimahullah regarding الشفاعة, intercession. And so he said, والشفاعة التي ادخرها لهم حق, that the intercession which he, meaning the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he reserved or kept in store for them, is true. Meaning it will take place. كَمَا رُوِيَ فِي الْأَخْبَارِ, as has been reported in the narrations. So in the last lesson we looked at, from the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh, we took five benefits or five points. And so we want to continue today inshallah ta'ala with a discussion and finish off the remaining 5 points or the five benefits which still remain. So the Shaykh says, the sixth issue, or the sixth matter, he says that intercession does not benefit with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala absolutely. Meaning that just because somebody makes shafa'ah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mean that it is automatically accepted. Rather we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ, that the intercession of those who intercede will not benefit them. So we see that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has denied that intercession will benefit anybody. So we see in the Quran, intercession is mentioned in two different ways. One which is affirmed, that yes, there will be intercession, and one which is denied, there will not be an intercession. So this shows that intercession is not something that will take place and be accepted absolutely, mutlaqan. It's not accepted absolutely. So for this reason, we see that not even the intercession of the angels and the prophets and the righteous and everything which we mentioned in the previous lesson, that even this is not acceptable to Allah unless it fulfills the conditions which are mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that in the Quran, when we look at the verses which mention the intercession which is acceptable to Allah, even that intercession has been mentioned with two conditions. There are two conditions. And the first of them is the permission of Allah. Al-Idhn, which is the permission of Allah. So Allah gives the permission to the one who is interceding, that he be allowed to intercede, that he proceeds to intercede. And the second condition is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the one for whom intercession is being made. So if you remember from the lesson last week, we looked at the word shafa'ah, and what is the meaning of the word shafa'ah and the word shafa'ah. And we said that this means to make something which is odd into even, to make something which is one into a pair, to make something into two. And what this means is that when there is one person who has a need from somebody else, then somebody else joins him, and now there are two people who are asking for that need. So this second person now argues on his behalf with the person who can fulfill the need. So here, we see that these two conditions, Allah's permission and Allah's pleasure. Al-Idhn wa-Ridha. So Allah's permission is for the one who is interceding with Allah on behalf of somebody else. So Allah first of all must give him permission to intercede in the first place. And as for Allah's pleasure, it is the one for the one who is being interceded for. Al-Mashfu' lahu, the one who is being interceded for. So these two conditions relate to each of those two people who are involved in asking for the need. So then the Shaykh goes on to expand upon each of these conditions. And in fact, first of all, the proof. What is the proof in the Quran? The proof in the Quran, there are many proofs. One of them is Surah An-Najm, Surah 53, verse number 26. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. That how many an angel in the heavens, their intercession will not avail or help anybody, except after Allah has given permission for them to intercede, and for the one with whom Allah is pleased. So these two conditions are mentioned in this ayah in the Quran. Likewise, in another ayah, Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Except for the one who witnesses the truth with the truth, whilst they have knowledge. This is referring to the one who is allowed to intercede. That the one who is allowed to intercede is only the one who witnesses the truth. Who witnesses with the truth. So from these verses, there are other verses as well, but from these verses we can see that the two conditions are mentioned very clearly. So then, the Shaykh, he goes on to explain the first one, al-idhn, the first condition. He says, فَالْمَقْصُودُ بِالْإِذْنِ, what is intended by permission is al-idhn al-shar'i wal-idhn al-kawni. He says that when we speak of Allah's permission for the one who wants to intercede, that he be allowed to intercede, what is this permission that we are speaking of? This permission that we are speaking of is explained that there are two types of permission that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one, which is al-idhn al-shar'i, and the second one, which is al-idhn al-kawni. And what this means is, this all comes back to Allah's irada, Allah's mashi'a, and this relates to the issue of Al-Qadr, where we explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two types of will. And likewise, Allah has two types of permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, he might allow something to happen in his creation, which he's not pleased with. So he might, for example, allow a disbeliever to commit disbelief, or a Muslim to commit a sin, but Allah is not pleased with that. However, he gives permission, he allows it to take place. So everything which takes place in his creation is from his al-idhn al-kawni. Al-idhn al-kawni. This means Allah's permission that relates to everything which happens in the universe. So everything which happens, Allah has already permitted it. But it does not mean that Allah is pleased with it, or that Allah has commanded it. Because now there is another type of permission with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is al-idhn al-shar'i. Al-idhn al-shar'i. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives permission. For example, for an act of worship, an act of ibadah, or he prohibits something. So now we see that when we speak of somebody making shafa'a, the two types of idhn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relate to this issue, relate to the whole issue of intercession. What does this mean? This means, let's give some examples. First example is, let's say somebody dies and there is a funeral prayer. So now the Muslims, they perform the funeral prayer. Now, in this, if you remember in the last lesson, we said that the funeral prayer, the janazah prayer, is a type of shafa'ah. Remember we mentioned the ahadith, there were two ahadith in Sahih Muslim, that when a man dies and 40 people who pray behind him, in another narration who say la ilaha, who are from the people of Tawheed, who do not associate any partners with Allah, that when they make janazah, they pray behind him, illa shufi'u fih, except that their intercession is accepted for him. So in this example, what has happened here? Allah, from his al-idhn al-kawni, he has allowed this thing to take place. Meaning he's allowed these Muslims, from his al-qada wal-qadr, he's decreed, he's given permission that this take place in his creation. So this is from the angle of al-idhn al-kawni. And from the angle of al-idhn al-shar'i, we find in the sharia that Allah has ordered and commanded that the Muslims perform the janazah upon the Muslims who die. Upon, it's fard kifaya, it's an obligation upon, upon the Muslim ummah. If some do it, it's relieved from the rest. So here we have the idhn al-shar'i, which is present in both of the Allah's permissions are present in this example that I've given. But now there's another example. Let's say another example is someone comes along and he now starts calling upon the dead. So he calls to, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah, something, and he says, Ya Shaykh, intercede for me with Allah. Now, what's happened here is that from Allah's al-idhn al-kawni, his permission, by which Allah allows everything to happen, it has taken place by way of Allah's permission that relates to what happens in the creation. But has Allah's al-idhn al-shar'i, is that found in this situation? The answer is no. Allah has not given his permission for this intercession to be asked for, and nor has he given permission to the one who's being asked for him to even give intercession. Right? So this al-idhn al-shar'i is not present. So when we look at the whole topic of al-shafa'ah and the conditions of shafa'ah, al-idhn wal-rida, then we have to look at it from these two points of view. From the point of view of Allah's al-idhn al-kawni and al-idhn al-shar'i. So the Shaykh, what the Shaykh is saying here, he says that when we say that Allah's permission is a condition, what it means is that no one is allowed to make the shafa'ah, meaning no one is allowed to make the du'a, because shafa'ah is du'a, except with Allah's permission. Except Allah, that He has willed it to take place. Kaunan and shar'an. Kaunan, so you understand now, kaunan and shar'an. You understand that kaunan, that Allah has decreed it to happen. And shar'an, that Allah has permitted it in the sharia. That Allah has legislated it in the sharia. So the Shaykh goes on to explain that these two conditions must be fulfilled, al-idhn al-shar'i and al-idhn al-kawni, otherwise it will not be accepted. Now, to help us understand this further, the Shaykh, he gives us a number of examples. He gives us three examples. The first example is, look at the shafa'ah of Ibrahim alayhi salam for his father. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made shafa'ah for his father. What did he say? He said, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكْ. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he made this promise with respect to his father. لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكْ, that I shall ask Allah to forgive you. Did this shafa'ah benefit his father? And the answer is no. It did not benefit. Because Allah is not pleased. Allah is not pleased with the one for whom intercession is being asked for. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in another ayah in the Quran, in Surah At-Tawbah, He said, وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَمَّ مَوْئِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّعَ مِنْهُ. That when Ibrahim asked for forgiveness for his father, he only did it because of a promise that he made previously. So when it became clear to him that he is an enemy of Allah, then Ibrahim, he freed himself from him. Okay? So here this shafa'ah did not benefit Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Ibrahim's father and Ibrahim's intercession was not accepted because the conditions were not fulfilled. Second intercession is the intercession of Nuh alayhi salam with respect to his son. And we see in the Quran, Allah says in Surah Hud, that Nuh said, alayhi salam, فَقَالَ رَبِّ إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَحْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعْدَقَ الْحَقِّ. He said, Oh my Lord, indeed my son is from my family, and indeed your promise is true. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responded to this supplicate, because this is a supplication, so this now is shafa'ah. This is shafa'ah from Nuh, alayhi salam, for his son with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah responded and said, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. He said, O Nuh, indeed he is not from your family. Indeed his action is not righteous. So do not ask that for which you have no knowledge. So we see here again, this shafa'ah was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, and we see that in all of these instances, Al-Idhn al-Kawni, these prophets, because Allah had decreed from His permission that relates to the creation, they made this shafa'ah. But had Allah given al-Idhn al-Shar'i? Answer is no. Third example is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought forgiveness for his uncle. So he said, the messenger said, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَ عَنْ ذَلِكَ, that I shall seek forgiveness for you. So long as I am not prohibited from that. So the messenger said that I shall make istighfar for him, for you, as long as I am not prohibited. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in the Quran, مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. It is not for the Prophet nor those who believe to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen, even if they are close relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are from the inhabitants of the fire. So we see here that the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not given the permission. So obviously the shafa'ah there, it did not take place. So with these examples, the Shaykh has now clarified the issue of al-idhn, the permission, and how the idhn can be al-idhn al-kawni, that even though it takes place, it doesn't mean that al-idhn al-shar'i has been given. Right? So this is the first thing that we should understand. The second condition is ar-rida, which is Allah's pleasure. Allah should be pleased with the one for whom shafa'ah is being made. Because in the ayah that we looked at, Surah An-Najm, verse 26, in when Allah says, إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهِ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. So He said, وَيَرْضَى. And with the one with whom He is pleased. In another ayah in the Quran, Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21, verse 28, Allah says, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى وَهُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَتِهِ مُشْفِقُونَ, that they will not intercede except for the one with whom He is pleased. And they, meaning the angels, they are in fear. They are out of the fear of Allah, they are in fear. So here we see that when we speak of Allah's pleasure, Allah must be pleased with the shafi' and the mashfu' lahu. So Allah must be pleased with both of them. So Allah must be pleased with the one who's making the shafa', the intercession, and the one for whom it is being made. Right? So if you look at the first condition, al-idhn must be given to the one who wants to make the intercession. In the second condition, ar-rida, Allah must be pleased with both people, the one who intercedes and the one for whom intercession, the shafa'ah, is being made. So as for what is the proof for both of these two? What is the proof? The proof that Allah must be pleased with the shafi' is the ayah in the Quran, Az-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse number 86. Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَهِدَ بِالْحَقِّ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ, except for the one who witnesses the truth, and they know upon knowledge. Right? So the one who is making the shafa'ah, the shafi', then he must be someone who is speaking truthfully. He witnesses to the truth. This is the first thing. The second thing, Allah being pleased with the one, al-mashfu' lahu, the one for whom intercession is being made. Allah says, وَلَا يَشْفَعُونَ إِلَّا لِمَنِ ارْتَضَى. They do not intercede except for the one with whom Allah is pleased. So this then is clear. This shows Allah must be pleased with the shafi', the one who will intercede. This means that the kafir cannot make any intercession. So no kafir will ever be allowed to intercede. This is why in the Quran, Allah has denied intercession completely from the kuffar, either to make intercession or to receive intercession. Why? Because Allah is not pleased with that which a kafir is upon, or with his statement, or what he dies upon. So that's the first thing. The second thing, Allah must be pleased with the one whom intercession is being made, which is al-mashfu' lahu. However, there is one exception. If you remember from the last lesson, there's one exception. Who is the exception? Huh? Prophet's uncle, yeah, but which one? Which one? Abu Talib. Yeah, Abu Talib. He's an exception from the rule. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Abu Talib was someone, even though he was a mushrik, kafir, he is someone who supported his nephew. He gave a type of aid and support for many long years. He protected the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against the mushrikeen. And he aided him, defended him, gave him shelter and so on and so forth. So we see from Abu Talib a type of action. The action Allah is pleased with. So Allah is pleased with the action, but He's not pleased with the doer of the action. So the fi'l, this is a fi'l that Allah is pleased with. That the messenger is aided, supported, helped, defended, and so on and so forth. But as for the fa'il, Allah is not pleased with the fa'il, which is Abu Talib. So for that reason, Allah is pleased with the action which emanated from Abu Talib. So for that reason here we see there is an exception that the shafa'ah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be granted and will be made and will be granted for Abu Talib. And this is how we understand the angle from which it is acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, this concludes our discussion of the conditions of shafa'ah, al-idhn wal-rida, which is Allah's permission and Allah's pleasure. And so these are some of the details that we should be aware of and some of the proofs from the Quran for that. The second issue, the seventh benefit, point number seven, is that the whole topic of ash-shafa'ah is one of the very great and important topics that we study and that we investigate, that we look at and analyze and that we investigate. And this is because we see that historically in history, many, many, many nations, they went astray on this specific topic of shafa'ah. And they went astray on this topic of shafa'ah and they entered into shirk and kufr. So we see that the Christians, they went astray on the topic of shafa'ah. The mushriks, the Arab mushriks, they went astray, misguided on the topic of ash-shafa'ah. We see likewise those who resemble the mushriks, those who resemble the Arab mushriks, from those who exaggerate in the awliya and the anbiya and the ashabul qubur and so on and so forth, all of them, they went astray as well. But there is one sentence, there is one phrase that unites all of them, from the Christians to the Arabs to all the people in history who went astray on the topic of shafa'ah, there is one sentence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about them, and it includes all of them. What is that sentence? It is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. All of them said, we do not worship them except that they may bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the shubha, this is the doubt that all of them, that this is the doubt that all of them were upon and which they fell into and which they used in order to justify their deviation away from the tawheed of the messengers. So when we speak about ash-shafa'ah, there are two ways or two angles that we speak about shafa'ah. The first angle is in this book, the angle from which we are speaking in this book, because shafa'ah has a connection to aqeedah. Shafa'ah has a connection to aqeedah and to belief in the hereafter. Like we mentioned, that why do the scholars include the topic of shafa'ah in the books of aqeedah? Number one, because it is related to al-iman bil yawm al-akhir, because it is connected to our belief in the last day. This is the first thing. And the second thing is because the issue of shafa'ah is a refutation of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, those people who deny that the Ahlul Kabair, that the people of major sin, that they will be removed from the fire. So for that reason, they denied the Shafa'ah for the people of major sin. So this is one angle from which we discuss the topic of Shafa'ah, because it has a connection to Aqeedah, connection to the last day, and connection to the issue of the major sin, you know, the major sin and the sinful Muslims. But there's a second angle from which we look at the topic of Shafa'ah, and this is from the angle of Tawheed al-Ibadah. Tawheed al-Ibadah. Because it relates to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we see that people will start asking Shafa'ah from people who are dead, from people in the graves. And so the Shaykh says that because this is also related to the topic of Shafa'ah, we will now mention this topic. We will now discuss this topic briefly. So now the Shaykh begins to discuss the Shafa'ah, which is related to Tawheed al-Ibadah. So the Shaykh begins by saying that when we speak about the Shafa'ah, there are two types of Shafa'ah, as we've already discussed. One Shafa'ah, which Allah has given His idhn for, it is permitted. Allah has accepted and permitted the Shafa'ah. And the second Shafa'ah is the Shafa'ah which Allah has prohibited in the Sharia. So, as for the first one, the Shafa'ah which Allah has permitted in the Sharia, then this Shafa'ah is, number one, there are three or four things. Number one, it is to ask Shafa'ah from someone who has the ability and who is able to perform it. And he must be al-hay. He must be al-hay, must be living. He must be al-hadir. He must be present. And he must be as-sami. He must be someone who hears. Yasma'. He must be able to hear. So the shafa'ah which Allah has permitted in the Sharia, it has these characteristics. That you ask someone who is al-hay, he's living, he is al-hadir, he's present there, he's present with you, and he yasma', he can hear you. This is the shafa'ah which is permitted, yajuz, in the Sharia. And as for, this is why the companions, radiyallahu anhum, they would go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would ask him for shafa'ah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his lifetime, he is alive, he's present, you know, he can hear the request of the Sahaba. So all of this is the correct intercession that is permitted in the Sharia. And likewise we see that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that when there used to come a famine and there's no rain, and then the Muslims would be afflicted and harmed, then they would come and Umar ibn al-Khattab, he would say, "O Allah, we used to go to your Prophet to seek rain, and now we come to the uncle of the Prophet, to Abbas." Abbas is the uncle of the Prophet. So now they used to go to the uncle of the Prophet, and they used to go to him and ask him to make shafa'ah, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to ask for rain on behalf of the Muslims. So when the Messenger passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, then they used to go to Abbas, who was living and present and could hear their request for him to make the shafa'ah, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the shafa'ah which is permitted in the Sharia. Al-hay, al-hadir, as-sami. One who is living, present, and hearing, that this is all acceptable in the Sharia. And so as for the shafa'ah which is rejected, denied, then this is when someone asks for shafa'ah from someone who is not living. He is mayit, he's dead. Or he is not present. He's not present. So he's living, but he's not present here. He's somewhere else. And he's someone who can hear. So for example, some examples of this is someone, he calls upon again, Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, rahimahullah, and he's, you know, "Ya Sheikh, intercede for me with Allah." Now here, Shaykh Rahimullah has passed away, he's died, he's not living, nor can he hear, nor is he present. So in this case now, this becomes an act of ibadah, because you are making dua This now becomes dua to the one who is in the grave. This becomes an act of ibadah, and now it enters into the area of shirk. Likewise, if a person was alive, let's say there's a person who is alive, let's say there's a person here now, and he says, Ya Sheikh so-and-so, and this Sheikh so-and-so is living, but he's in some place in India, or in some place in Egypt, or 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, 1,000 miles away. Is he hadir? Is he present? Can he hear? No. This means now that this person is making dua to somebody who cannot hear him. He's thousands of miles away. So this means either he's holding a belief in his heart that this man has some ability which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to hear things, you know. So this means that this person can only have made this dua out of some belief that he is holding in his heart. So again, this enters into shirk. So we see that here the conditions are not fulfilled. The person must be al-hay, must be hadir, must be sami, must be hearing. So this is the type of shafa'a which is rejected in the Quran. And this is the type of shafa'a that we see these people falling into. And this shafa'a is actually dua to the mayyit. It is a type of dua. It is actually ibadah. It is ibadah. It becomes ibadah. See, when it's done to a living person who is present, who can hear, this is now not, it's not ibadah. This is something that the Sharia has permitted. It is something that a person has power and ability over. This is not ibadah. This is a similar example. We can give another similar example of isti'ana and istighatha. This means to seek aid and to seek rescue. So for example, if a man says, you know, if a man comes along and says, Oh Abdullah, can you please help me carry these things into my car? Help me carry these goods, they're too heavy, help me carry them into my car. This now is isti'ana, which is permissible in the Sharia. Because he's asking someone who is living, who is present, who can hear him, who has qudra. He has qudra over the thing which is being asked. Right? Now, if for example was to say, this man had some goods, and he wants to move them into his car, and he says, Ya Sheikh Peer so-and-so, who is in India somewhere, or Egypt somewhere, help me move these goods into my car. Now, that Sheikh is living, but is he hadir? No. Can he hear? The answer is no. Does he have the qudra to do that thing? The answer is no. This now becomes a type of ibadah. This is now ibadah. Because it assumes certain things. You are assuming certain powers and abilities for that man, which is why you are making this dua to him. This now is ibadah. So you see the difference. So we can have something which is permitted in the Sharia, but it can also become something which enters into shirk when it doesn't fulfill the... So the same situation here with a shafa'a, when someone asks someone who is living, present, hearing, it is fine, it is acceptable in the Sharia. But when you ask someone who is not living, not present, can't hear, this now becomes ibadah and enters into the field of shirk. And that's why the Shaykh says here, this is why we say that every request for shafa'a, every request for shafa'a from the dead, min al amwat aw al ghaibin, from those who are dead or those who are not present, in those things which they have no power, and there is no permission given for it in the Sharia, then this is from a shirk billah jalla wa'ala. This is enters into the shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the Shaykh says, he says, لكن الشبهة في الشفاعة كبيرة وتحتاج إلى إقامة الحجة أكثر من غيرها من مسائل العقيدة. Now he says, makes an important point, he says, that this shubha, because now there's some confusion and you know, it's not really clear about this whole topic of shafa'a. And for that reason, before we start labeling or judging upon people that they have become mushriks or disbelievers, it requires iqamatul hujjah, that we have to establish the proof upon a person, because and it's even more in this issue, akthar min ghayriha min masail al-aqidah, that it is more in this issue than other issues of aqidah. Why? Because, and then the Shaykh explains, so pay attention to this point. He says, when you look in the Quran and you see that when Allah speaks of the mushrikeen, you see that the mushrikeen did not used to ask their gods, that they make dua for them. In the Quran, what we see that they used to worship those gods, hoping that those gods would intercede for them. Right? So they would worship them and give devotion to them and so on and so forth, because they thought that if we give them this ibadah, maybe they will intercede for us. But what the mushriks do, who came after in this ummah, those who fell into shirk, what they do is they actually make dua to the ones that they are worshipping and ask them, now make intercession for us. That's not what the mushrikeen used to do. You understand the difference? So this, like, if you like, is a type of bid'ah. This is a bid'ah that was brought about, and it is, you know, to ask the dead for intercession is a new type of bid'ah, and it is muhdatha. And for that reason, the scholars, they basically say that, you know, first of all, we have to be very careful when we pass judgment upon people, that we make sure that that we have established the proof that we have made iqamatul hujjah. And secondly, that just because some of the scholars say that this is a bid'ah, does not mean that it is, at the same time, it is not shirk or kufr, because something can be a bid'ah and also shirk and kufr at the same time. So anyway, the Shaykh says that this is something that we should be aware of, because the topic of shafa'a is connected to the issue of tawheedul ibadah, just as it is connected to the issue of al-iman wal-aqidah. So it has two angles that we look at the whole topic, by which we look at the whole topic of ash-shafa'a. So this is point number 7. Point number 8, the Shaykh goes on to look at some of the shubuhat of the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. The Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, as you know, they deny ash-shafa'a. For the reason, you know the reason why, because they claim that the one who commits a kabira, a major sin, that he is mukhallad finnar, that he is someone who will remain eternally in the fire. And so therefore they deny those narrations that mention Allah will take out those sinful Muslims. But they have proofs, they bring their proofs. Obviously they have shubuhat and they bring their proofs. So what are their proofs? The proofs they bring is the ayah in the Quran we mentioned earlier, Surah Al-Muddathir, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ. This is an ayah in the Quran which Allah says that the intercession of those who intercede will not benefit them. Will not benefit them. So they say, what is the proof in this ayah? They say, look, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has spoken in the plural, فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ. شَافِئِينَ. That the intercession of all those who intercede will not benefit them. Because Allah said, الشافعين. So they say that this includes all intercession which is done. Even intercession of the Prophet, even intercession of the other Prophets, even intercession of the angels and the righteous. It shows that their intercession will not be accepted. So from this angle, they are using this ayah in the Quran to deny intercession for the Ahlul Kabair, the people of major sin. And so the answer, what is the answer to the Shubha? How do we respond to this shubha? The answer is, first of all, when we look at this ayah and we look at the verses which come before, we see that this ayah is speaking specifically about the kuffar. It's not about the Muslims. It is about the kuffar. Because in this ayah, Allah says, or in this passage, Allah says in Surah Al-Muddathir, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Allah says, what is it that led you into the fire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They said, we were not from those who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And nor did we used to feed the poor people, the needy people. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ. And we used to dispute with those who used to, we used to argue and dispute like those who used to argue and dispute. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And we used to deny the day of judgment. You should deny the day of judgment. Hatta atana al-yaqeen, fama tanfa'uhum shafa'atu shafi'een. Shafa'atu shafi'een. So up until there came to us the certainty, and so therefore the intercession of the interceders will not benefit them. This whole passage now makes it clear. Because these people are kuffar, they don't believe in yawmul qiyamah, they don't establish the prayer, they don't, you know. So therefore this means that they are kuffar, they're not Muslims. And so this shows that the verse that the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij are using, they are using out of its proper place, because this verse is not related to sinful Muslims. And so we see, clearly see that when Allah says فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ, the letter fa is being used as a meaning tartib and succession, that because they never used to pray, because they never used to feed the needy and poor, because they used to dispute, and because they used to deny the day of judgment, then as a result of this, the intercession will be of no benefit to them at all. So this is very clear, and the shubha is out of its proper place. Anyway, this is the first angle, and the second angle is that we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in very clear words, he said, shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'ir min ummati, that my intercession is for the people of major sin from my ummah. This is very clear. How can you now deny this? This is very explicit from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a nas, meaning that it is a text where there isn't any ta'wil. You know, it's not ambiguous, it's not general, it's not mujmal, it's very clear and explicit. There's no way you can say, it means this and it means that. It's very, very clear. And also the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَسْعَدُ النَّاسِ بِشِفَاعَتِي مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ أَوْ وَمِنْ نَفْسِهِ, that the one who is most pleased and happy with my intercession is the one who says لا إله إلا الله purely and sincerely from his heart and from his soul. And so again, this is a very clear proof and very clear evidence which cannot be denied or disputed. So this is point number 8, benefit number 8. This now brings us to benefit number 9. And benefit number 9, the Shaykh really, he doesn't really go into it. He just simply says that there is another connected issue here as it relates to the issue of Tawheedul Ibadah, which is the issue of At-Tawassul. And he says that when we look at the people who have fell into mistakes on the topic of Shafa'ah, you see that they use this word Shafa'ah for many different things. It's confusing. So, for example, they will make istighatha from the dead. They will seek rescue and help from the dead when they're in a calamity. And they will call this Shafa'ah. They will make tawassul with an innovative type of tawassul from the dead. And they will call this Shafa'ah. So all these words, al-Shafa'ah, al-Tawassul, al-Istighatha, all very confusing. Right? So one of the issues that is mentioned here is the issue of at-tawassul. And as you know, that when we speak of tawassul, wal-wasila is simply a means by which you become closer to Allah. And in the Sharia, there are three types of permitted tawassul in the Sharia. Number one, you ask Allah by His names. Oh Allah, you are al-Ghafoor, ighfirli. Oh Allah, you are the one who forgives, so forgive me. You mention Allah's name and you ask, you make dua. This is one type of tawassul which is permitted in the Sharia. Second type of tawassul is the dua of another person, the dua of another Muslim. This is another type of tawassul. And the third type of tawassul is that you mention a good deed that you know you did with sincerity to Allah, and you mention this to Allah and you ask you make dua to Allah by way of that. All of this is proven in the Sharia. But then we see that there is an innovative type of tawassul, at-tawassul al-bid'i. And this tawassul, there's many forms, but there's one here where they say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi haqqi fulan. Wallah, I ask you by the right of so-and-so. Aw bi haqqi nabiyyik. Or by the right of your prophet. Now this wording here, when you start asking Allah on account of the right of somebody else, this now is an innovative type of tawassul. And we say that this is not permissible. It's not permissible because there is no proof for it in the Quran or the Sunnah. And the Shaykh, he doesn't really expand upon this, he just simply says that this matter has been discussed by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in his book, Al-Qa'idah fi al-Tawassul, he's got a book, Kitab al-Tawassul wal-Wasila. And likewise, Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah, who wrote an explanation of al-Tahawiyyah, he also discusses the issue in that book as well. And basically the crux of the discussion is that these are innovated types of Tawassul. They do not have any proof from the Sharia, and this is a different topic, another separate topic, inshallah ta'ala. But the Shaykh didn't really expand upon it; he just made a reference to it very briefly, and it is something that is connected to this whole topic of shafa'ah, tawassul, and you know the route and avenue towards shirk. So something that we should just make a note of. But in short, the Hanafi scholars, the Maliki scholars, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, and the early Hanafi scholars, they all disapprove. There are narrations from them that disapprove that it should not be asked from Allah, bihaqqi fulan, or whatever. All of this is not permitted in Shira, and it is to be avoided. So this is point number 9. And finally, we come to the final point, point number 10. And point number 10 is, what are the asbab? Mahiya al-asbab allati biha yuhassil al-mar'u al-muslim shafa'ata nabiyhi. What are those ways and means by which a Muslim man can receive the shafa'a of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So what steps can we take? Those steps, from those steps is, first of all, the greatest step, which is at-tawheed wa ikhlasu ad-deen lillah wal 'amalu lillah jalla wa ala wa islamu al-wajh lillah jalla wa ala, which is at-tawheed, being sincere to Allah, turning one's face sincerely to Allah, worshipping only Allah alone. And this is clear from the ahadith we've already mentioned, the hadith, as'adu an-nas bi shifa'ati yawm al-qiyamah man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi aw nafsihi. The most pleased person with my shafa'ah is the one who says La ilaha illallah sincerely and purely from his heart. This is tawheed, al-ikhlas and tawheed. So the first and the greatest thing by which a person can receive the shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah is to be a person of tawheed and to fear shirk, both the major form and the minor form. The major shirk and the minor shirk. And the minor shirk has many, many different types and forms. And the minor shirk is a route of an avenue that leads towards the major shirk. So one should be fearful, not just of major shirk, but also of the minor shirk, because that could be a means of him being deprived of the shafa'ah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The second reason or cause is to follow the muadhin, when the muadhin is making the adhan, and then to follow behind him. So whatever he says, you say what he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, whatever he says, you know, you follow him and you follow me in that. And because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man sami'a an-nida, whoever heard the call, meaning the call to prayer, faqala mithlu ma yaqulu al-mu'adhdhin, and then he said, like what the mu'adhdhin said, thumma qal, then he said, Allahumma rabb hadhihi ad-da'wa at-tama wa salati al-qa'ima, آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. So he says, O my Lord, O Allah, the Lord of this perfect supplication and this established prayer, give Muhammad the wasila and the fadila, and raise him upon that lofty, the praiseworthy station which you promised him. So when he says that, illa hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah, except that my shafa'ah will become binding, or will be applicable to him, will befall him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this shows that a person who wants the shafa'ah, he follows the mu'adhin with ikhlas, with sidq, he repeats what the mu'adhin says, believing in it firmly. And then after this, because the adhan is tawheed, the adhan comprises tawheed, so he follows what the mu'adhin says, and so he follows that. And then he makes that dua, and he says this dua, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wa, to the end of the dua. Then inshallah ta'ala, he will receive the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are the two major things. These are the two major things which are mentioned here. And there are also some others which are mentioned, which some of the other sheikhs they mention. So from them, we mentioned ikhlas bit tawheed. So we've already mentioned this one, number one. Number two, ad-du'a, which is this du'a after the adhan. That's the second one. The third one is, it is unique for the people of Medina. As-sabr ala shiddatil Medina. And it's famine. So this one is for the people in Medina, that those who have patience in Medina because of its severity and the famine and so on and so forth, then they will receive shafa'a. Likewise, also there is mentioned here in a hadith. I'm not sure whether the hadith is actually authentic, so we'll leave that one. So anyway, these are some of the other things which are mentioned by some of the other mashayikh. So there are numerous ways by which a person can receive the shafa'a of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so with this, we end our discussion of ash-shafa'a, and it concludes this sentence of At-Tahawi. And so inshallah ta'ala, we end our lesson here. In the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala, we will look at al-mithaq. Al-mithaq. Al-mithaq is the covenant that Allah took from the prophets and from Adam alayhi salam, when he took all of the souls from Adam and he made them testify, Alastu bi Rabbik. This is the mithaq, which is that Allah will send prophets and messengers, you know. And so this is from the belief in the unseen. It is from our aqidah. It is from the affairs of the unseen, which we do not know and have, which we have not witnessed and seen, which Allah has informed us of. So this also is from the affairs of the belief and the unseen. Inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss this in the next lesson. So with that, we finish today's lesson. Inshallah ta'ala, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.